disasters and emergencies happen to good people like you every day. The frequency of these events are increasing at an astonishing rate. Now is the time to take responsibility for preparing and empowering yourself for the inevitable. Welcome to the Survive University Podcast, where we provide an education in preparation, giving you the tools to get ready, be ready, and stay ready. Now, let's get on with today's lesson.
What's up, my preps? It's Hakeem, your Survive U Dean, here with another one. I am with Main J, the OG, the original guy.
Or gangster.
Actually, it's the ordinary guy, right?
Yeah, ordinary guy.
All right. So, but wanted to give you those high accolades to start out with. Basically, today we are talking about a vehicle emergency kit or a vehicle emergency bag. As you know, with I-95, the incident that happened where all those people got stuck on the road for over 27 hours, there was a lot of different preparedness instructors and emergency instructors that came out and said, told ya.
Yeah.
We told you this was going to happen and you should have some stuff in your ride prepared for any type of emergency. And we would be remiss to not be in that boat to say, I told you so.
Told you so. We told you.
Right. But really, our goal is to make sure that people are taking care of themselves and that we are building more self-reliance in the world. And so it's not really about I told you so. It's just using this as an example to say, hey, here's another reason why you should be ready. And as Maine, as you know, as we talked about, I have a different philosophy on having different types of bags and equipment and gear for preparedness and being ready for emergencies. Mm-hmm. So in this case, I look at the vehicle as another person. So sometimes preparedness instructors, they will say you should have a go bag in your car and that go bag should have all these things in it. But I think you should have an actual vehicle emergency kit. Your vehicle is I look at it as a person by itself.
Okay.
And then you are a person by yourself. So where you would have your go bag that has things in it to keep you going and keep you alive and moving, you would have essentially a go bag for your vehicle, something to keep it alive and moving so that you don't get stranded or, you know, stuck or lost or something of that nature on the side of the road somewhere and then find yourself in a horrible predicament.
So hold on. Are you saying that the bag itself, okay, we're not talking about one bag that you have that has all the essentials for you and another bag that you keep in your car that has another, you know, a group of accessories for you. You're talking about a separate bag for the upkeep of the vehicle to make sure the vehicle can function as it's supposed to.
Yes.
Okay.
Or at least as close as possible as it can, you know, functioning as it's supposed to, so that you can get to safety or somewhere.
Okay.
You know, take you that extra mile. I mean, there since cars have been invented, there are stories upon stories of people, you know, getting into accidents and they get run off the road and then nobody knows they're there and then they have to fend for themselves or getting lost in the backwoods and running out of gas and not being able to, you know, support themselves mm-hmm. long enough to find help or, you know, in this particular case, being stuck on I-95 waiting for some rescue, but there's no rescue coming because everybody's kind of bogged down. And so how do you keep your vehicle moving in the right direction and keep yourself alive long enough so that you can get help or get to help? That's what a vehicle emergency kit is for. How do we design a kit that's going to keep our vehicle in tip top or in good condition long enough for us to get to safety?
Okay, so this is interesting because you're not talking about maintenance of a vehicle, general maintenance of a vehicle, and you're not talking about, because I misunderstood. I was under the impression you were talking about another bag of supplies for you as an individual that you keep in your car, but you're talking about something totally different. So this is going to be a good conversation today.
Yes. You know, I believe in you should have two bags in a car, right?
Okay.
One for you and one for your vehicle,
got
right?
You.
Because your vehicle really is your lifeline in a lot of scenarios. You know, you getting stuck on the road and, or for that matter, There was an instance where people were waiting for food at food banks mm-hmm. when coronavirus had kicked off and people was losing their jobs and they couldn't afford food. And so they were in these lines for hours and hours and hours. They were running out of gas. It was super cold outside. So you had people like very cold in their car. And so having some sort of blanket in mm-hmm. there, having things of that nature, having a little bit of extra fuel, you know, had some of us taken, you know, another step to that, which is not a part of this podcast, but maybe having the food prepared in advance mm-hmm. at your home, mm-hmm. those extra food stores would have kept a lot of people out of that situation. But you didn't do it, and now you're in this situation, having something prepared in your car that can at least keep the car going and keep everybody safe is going to be important as well.
And it's really, it's an interesting point that you're bringing up, because we're moving to a point in society where vehicles are getting more self-sufficient, if that makes sense. Autonomous vehicles. So we're going to be to a point soon where you don't even have to drive the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So in many respects, you think of it less, because if you have an electric vehicle, you don't have to worry about stopping at a gas station. If mm-hmm. you have a self-driving vehicle, you don't have to worry about driving it. We're not there yet totally, but we're getting there. So, but that doesn't mean that you won't find yourself in a situation where you need the supplies that you're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's jump into this list, because I know we spoke about it briefly before we started, and there's certain things on here that are obvious, mm-hmm. but there's other things on here that I'm eager to find out the application on how it's going to be used, and dual applications, because some of the things that you mentioned serve dual purposes, or even more than two purposes.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to get into this. So let's get started.
Well, let's talk about it first. First, we have a list of 30 items mm-hmm. that you should have in your vehicle emergency kit. This is a kit to keep your vehicle moving and grooving so that you can stay safe and mm-hmm. you can get to safety if there is an emergency, right? And so that's where we are in this particular aspect. So what is a vehicle emergency kit, and what are these 30 tools, or okay. what are these 30 things and items? And so one of our first items, and it's no specific order, it's not like it's first because it's the most important. It's just like here are 30 items. And so we have cut-proof like mechanic gloves.
Gotcha.
Your hands are super important, right? Mm-hmm. You know, being able to manipulate and move and, you know, bust things open and take screws off or put screws in or pour in some radiator fluid, you know, all that stuff is going to be super important when it comes down to being able to help your car function. If you get a flat tire and you need to change the tire, if your hands get all scraped up while you're in that process and you can't use them anymore, then you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. So having some gloves, some mechanic gloves, or some cut-proof resistant gloves that you can use to keep your hands from getting cut up as you are, like, you know, digging in the engine or as you're trying to like change the tire, that's going to be very important. So that's our number one thing.
Okay.
Going along with that, making sure your hands are taken care of for hand warmers, right?
Yeah.
If you've ever been in the cold trying to manipulate something and your hands are freezing and they cannot move, then it makes it very difficult for you to function properly, those fine motor skills. So although these aren't specific, your hands aren't the vehicle, because your hands have to work on the vehicle and provide, you know, whatever the vehicle needs, they are inside the vehicle emergency kit.
Okay.
So any questions about that?
No, and actually in looking at the list, because I'm not sure we're going to be able to get to everything today, we're going to make the list available to people who are interested in finding out the full list in its entirety. But in looking at a lot of the items on the list, just to go back to it, it's they're not expensive.
No.
Most of the things aren't expensive at all.
No. I mean, it'll take some doing if you wanted to get everything on the list. Uh-huh. But like you said, as far as some finances, I should say, but you buy most of them once and then you have them and they can serve multiple purposes.
Okay.
And that's really important.
So before we dive into it, because, I mean, we're talking about this list that we can see, but they can't see. Mm-hmm. Do you mind just going through real quick and just rounding them off real quick, and then we can go back and talk about specific ones?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's hit that. So
okay.
Let's do that. So number one, cut-proof mechanic gloves. Mm-hmm. Number two, hand warmers.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, ratchet straps, right? Number four, toe straps. Number five, a lock cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, a crowbar. Number seven, a wrench. Number eight, gas can. Number nine, self-priming safety siphon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number 10, heavy-duty jumper cables. Number 11, run flat. Number 12, fire extinguisher. Number 13, seatbelt cutter and glass breaker. Number 14, foldable auto traction tire grips, mm-hmm. right? Number 15, a 40-piece or something like that toolkit. Number 16, car battery booster and portable battery bank charger. 17, duct tape. Duct tape is on everything.
Duct tape.
You know, I am the Black MacGyver, so duct tape has to make the list, right?
So 17 through 30, duct tape.
Right. Duct tape on everything. All right. Number 18, flares, right? Mm-hmm. Number 19, emergency light and headlamp, right? The emergency lights that go around the car.
Okay.
Number 20, reflector jacket / rain coat, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be waterproof as well. 21, a road map. 22, air pump. 23, multiple tools or a multi-tool like an e-tool or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
24, collapsible water bottle. 25, plastic funnel. And 26, foldable shovel. 27, a scraper of some sort. 28, heavy duty 5mm trash bags. You want at least two of those. 29, WD-40
mm-hmm.
saves the day. 30 is a foldable saw.
Wow.
All right. So that's where we got all 30 of our things. We'll have a list of these in the show notes. And then also in the upcoming book, Disaster Ready, we'll have that as well. So what do you have to say about that?
Some of this stuff is obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this stuff is not so obvious. And I have questions about it because a lot of this stuff I have in the trunk anyway.
Yeah.
Just from, you know, growing up, you know, you wanted to make sure you had a jack in the back. Definitely make sure you have a jack in the back of your vehicle. If you don't know how to use it, that's something that you should make a priority mm-hmm. to learn how to use. And, you know, have a screwdriver here mm-hmm. and, you know, a set of pliers there for whatnot. But some of this stuff is thought-provoking, especially number 18. And I was interested when I saw that because I didn't understand the significance of flares, which mm-hmm. is number 18, until I was driving down the road and saw someone who had a flat tire on the side of the road at night. And there was no way of seeing them other than the hazards that they had blinking on a almost dead battery.
Mm.
So usually most times if you know, you have a little bit of age on yourself, you remember back when the speed limit for most places was 55 at the most.
Mm-hmm.
We've moved past that. Now most highways are 70 miles an hour. And to add to the fact that you are not able to see people sometimes,
yeah,
just because it's night, you add into weather conditions where it may be rainy or the fact that someone doesn't know to pull all the way off the shoulder of the highway to do stuff like that, that becomes a real hazard.
And mm-hmm.
usually when you see flares, and I've seen them occasionally, because if you see an accident and there's police officers there and there's some sort of presence, emergency management presence, they use flares and you could see those from miles away.
Yeah.
So that is very important. I know they can be a fire hazard if they're, you know, activated improperly, but they can also save your life if you have them in your vehicle.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And there's there's a lot of people on the road now. Driving and texting and, you know, they're swerving a little bit. And, there's been some really severe accidents in places where it was like raining and you see cars hydroplaning and they backed it. That was not long ago where it was a huge accident on a highway
uh-huh.
where the accident was, I believe it was hydroplane. It was a bunch of rain. One car hit another. They were stuck in the middle of the road. The next car came and didn't see that. It hit that and it just started piling up and piling up and piling up.
Mm-hmm.
And even if, you know, you had, let's say, an opportunity to pull off the side of the road and you didn't get into the accident, you could just take a flare and throw it out there in the middle of the road. Just let people, once they see that, it's going to alert them that something bad is going on ahead.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't recommend being in that accident, it's a hard call. Sometimes they say, like, you know, if you're in that front vehicle or you're getting squished in, you know, just stay in there. But then on the flip side of that, maybe staying in there, if you get a truck that comes behind you and crushes you, then that's not good neither. So it's either playing Frogger on the road, trying to get out of your vehicle, or stay in your vehicle and get be Frogger crushed in the road. So, but anyway, I digress. Being and having those flares and being able to throw those out. I also have on the list, you know, emergency lights, right? Mm-hmm. And those emergency lights serve the same purpose mm-hmm. as a flare. You put them out, you put them around your car and people can see you, but you hit on batteries, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes people may not check those batteries. They go to use that emergency light and all of a sudden the battery is dead and they can't use it. That's where the flare is a backup. It doesn't need any electricity. You're able to just throw that out there and forget it. Also, people are less likely to just throw an emergency light that they paid like $5 for out in the middle of the road and just forget about it, you know, whereas a flare is like $1.50, $2. You just throw it out there and, you know, just let it do its thing. A flare could also provide heat, you know. So if you were out there and you were trying to do something and you needed to see and you needed to provide some heat for yourself in that process, you know, of course it's dangerous, but I mean, if you're out there and your only option is I might die, mm-hmm. you know, then, you know, it might be an opportunity for you to keep yourself alive so that you can work on the vehicle.
See, and there's that ninjanuity right there. Because we're looking at this list from the standpoint of emergency vehicle kit. And I don't know how many people out there would say, okay, even though it's obvious, mm-hmm. Okay, use a flare for its intended purposes to make sure that you or have a beacon of light to show people that there's something going on. Mm-hmm. However, I can use this to start a fire if yep. I'm in, you know, on a ski trip and, you know, something goes awry. So these things, many of these things, and to your credit, I know usually one thing doesn't have only one purpose. Mm-hmm. Most Never. Of these things on here usually have like multiple purposes in some way, form of fashion. So it's interesting to hear. But ask you a question with this long list, and it is, you know, an extensive list for almost any situation that you find yourself in. Would you say that there's certain elements on this list that are more suited for travel around town versus long trip, or would you say all of this stuff is something that you should have all the time?
I think all of it. Well, I always over prepare. Uh-huh. You know, I rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Okay.
And so I think all of it's important. Okay. You know, because it's not even just about you. It's about, for instance, I'm on the road and my vehicle's okay on I-95, uh-huh. but the vehicle, five vehicles in front of me is stuck. You get what I'm saying? And that's why I'm stuck. It's okay. Because they're stuck. So I can take out my tire treads and bring them up there and say, put this under your vehicle and they can get out of there. And now I can continue to move on. So it may not just be about you. For instance, the lock cutter, mm-hmm. the lock cutters, people say, like, well, why would I need a lock cutter in my car? And so, you know, I say that, for instance, in a situation like in Florida, not too many years ago, or maybe several years ago now, there was a massive fire. I believe it was Florida. It was a massive fire. And it was like kind of this community that was living off in the woods. They had like these really nice houses out in the woods. And they found out that the fire was coming mm-hmm. and certain neighbors were warning neighbors and they got like a convoy and they started trying to get out of there and they end up coming up to a fence and that fence was pretty hefty and nobody could just, it's not like, you know, the A-team where you could just ride through the fence, uh-huh. you know, or a Knight Rider, you know, so they tried to go to the fence and open it, but it was locked. It had a heavy duty lock on it.
Gotcha.
And they couldn't get out. And by the time they looked up and saw that the fire had come down and it was surrounding them, you know, most of the people in the convoy died. I think it was like one person or two people who were actually able to climb the gate in enough time, run down and just jumped into a water source and stayed under the water, you know, and that was how they lived.
Wow.
So being able to grab your lock cutters, your bolt cutters and just go and cut that lock, that would have been great. It might be a case of an emergency where maybe a car hits another car and, you know, a piece of metal gets mangled in there and you need to cut that thing off. Maybe the bolt cutters can work for that as well. So having those type of items, you know, might not even be about you. It might be about someone or something else that is stopping your vehicle from moving forward.
Got you. So there was a item on this list, to be perfectly honest with you, and I have to confess, I was curious about the use. Number 24, the collapsible water bottle.
The collapsible water bottle.
Okay.
The collapsible water bottle has three different purposes, right? Okay. And that is a, one, you know, you can use it for water, right? You're out, you're stuck on the side of the road. You're like, man, I need some water. Somebody else has some water and I go there. But that's not about, that's not necessarily about the vehicle. That's more about you.
Mm-hmm.
Two, maybe your radiator or something is overheating and you need to get some water and you need to bring it there and you don't have a water source in your car because you didn't properly prepare your go bag like mm-hmm. you're supposed to. So that's another. Number three, which is the big one, is that you might be stuck in traffic like on I-95. Or you might be traveling somewhere and somebody is getting to that point where they need to relieve themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So a collapsible water bottle would be a great way for you to relieve yourself. So it could be to contain all types of water, whether it be the water coming out of you or whether it be the water that you want to go into you, or maybe it be water that you want to use on the vehicle to cool it down or something of that nature. So having a container is always a great thing.
Knowledge bombs. We tend to drop them a lot around here, and we appreciate your feedback and support for the information, interviews, and perspectives shared. Become a Patreon supporter for Survive University and get additional exclusive content not shared during the podcast. Patreon subscribers also get information on other Survive University products and projects before they're released to the public. So visit patreon.com/Survive University and join us as we continue on this journey to get ready, be ready, and stay ready like never before.
So having a container is always a great thing.
So when you say collapsible water bottle, we're not talking about like a plastic bottle that you get from the convenience store or the grocery store or like a milk jug that you crush. It's actually a bottle that's designed to collapse into a compact form.
Yeah. And we'll have a lot of these items up on either our Patreon or our Facebook and our YouTube. I'm going to do some film about them. And there's some really cheap ones out there. It's like $2 collapsible bottle, you know, that you could just have in there. And, you know, if you have kids and you guys are stuck on the road and you don't want them running out around there, you don't know if a truck is going to come and hit them. You get what I'm saying? Maybe getting out of the car is just not the option. And since you are the operator of the car and the people in it are the operators, you don't want them just running around on the highway. So here's your collapsible bottle. That buys you a little bit of time. It you know, if worst case scenario, you could just put your arm out the window and pour it, and mm-hmm. it doesn't look like, you know, a little 5-year-old like peeing on the side of, on the highway in the middle of traffic, you know. Uh-huh. It there's options there, but you know, that's why we have the collapsible bottle there.
I got you. So the infamous WD-40.
Oh man. So if you've ever tried to change your tire and it gets rusted on there, those bolts, man, I mean, that can cause a lot of hardship. Yeah. And it could be the difference between you getting it off, especially maybe you're not as strong, you know, maybe you don't have a lot of upper body strength. It'll be hard to get those nuts off of there. So that WD-40 can help with that. Maybe you actually have to lift the hood and like, you know, check a wire or do something of that nature, but you can't get the screw off of there. That WD-40 can help with that. You know, so it has a lot of different, you know, purposes that it can help with. You know, so that's why I have WD-40 in there.
And I would also add, you bring up a good point in regards to lug nuts being rusted on. If you're a person that doesn't really do maintenance on your own vehicle, mm-hmm. what you'll find out is when you go to places that service vehicles that do tire work or brake work, they use a pneumatic tool to put those lug nuts on. And often is the case, they put them on extremely tight. So mm-hmm. if you have an opportunity one day just to go out and you're in a safe place like your home, go out and see if you can loosen those up and tighten them back on, because most situations your lug nuts should be as tight as you can put them on, because that means that's as tight as you can take them off. If they're too tight, they can actually do more damage to the wheel, or you find yourself in a situation like Hakeem said, where you're stuck somewhere and you need to get it off and you're not able to do it. and that WD-40 will be of benefit to you. But if they put them on too tight, you're still going to be in a world of hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the real. So that's another aspect for you. One that I think that gets overlooked all the time, is a gas can, right? Mm-hmm. A small little gas can. It doesn't have to be much. But you know, if you got stuck and you needed some fuel, and let's say it's two or three people, in the vehicle, and one says, hey, you know, well, we're not that far from the exit. Like if I'm on I-95, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not that far from an exit. Why don't one of us get out and walk up there? Mm-hmm. But the problem is that probably other people have that idea too. So some people may say, well, why not just get the gas can there? Well, the gas can may not be there because other people have gotten there and bought the only five that they have, but yet you got 30 people standing mm-hmm. out there. So you have your own gas can, you get it, and you go back. Now, you have your gas can, you get back. The next thing is that siphon, right?
Yes.
And that siphon is really important. So that self-priming, it has a little ball in it, and you shake it, and it does some little physics magic, and it sucks the fuel out of the can and puts it into your tank without you trying to have to maneuver it and spill it all over the place and all that stuff. You know, in a Mad Max situation where, you know, you have like a Hurricane Katrina or something, and you're trying to get from point A to point B, and you know, fuel is scarce or something of that nature, you might be able to siphon it out of another car, but I would try to stick away from that. But that self-siphoning or self-priming safety siphon is going to be important as well as a good gas can. And if you don't have that, having like a funnel or something like that. The funnel serves two purposes. One, if you're a guy having to pee in your little collapsible bottle, mm-hmm. it'd be better than peeing all over the inside of the ride, right? I think your family would, you know, appreciate that. So that wide mouth gives you an opportunity to not do that. Two, if you're a girl trying to pee inside the top of that bottle, you know, it's the same idea, yeah. Right? You know, unless you got extreme talent. So having that opportunity is another one as well.
Now, we talked about the gas can, and I'm glad you clarified that you're not an advocate for traveling with gas in your vehicle, having a gas can with gasoline in there, taking that about going different, because that's a fire hazard.
I'm not about that. I think that's a horrible idea unless there are extreme circumstances, okay. Like you are trying to vacate an area, like when we were here in North Carolina, mm-hmm. and the hackers broke into the, you know, the fuel station, oil rig, and not the oil rig, but the oil corporation, mm-hmm. and they were able to mess with their systems, and then that shut down their operations, and then people started panic buying, and they were buying up all the fuel. So you had all these vehicles that didn't have enough fuel, and you know, people were running out of fuel. During that time, I actually had an event I had to go to that was in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So one of the things was, well, how am I going to get to this event and get back? Because the event wasn't canceled and I had to be there. So I had some fuel that I had saved up that I put in my car for that trip, but that was a specialized circumstance. And it's not something that I would recommend unless it's, you know, you have to do this. If you're just like, hey, I just got to go down the street to work and back, you know, on a consistent basis, that might not be worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to make that call, that judgment call. So unless it's a very extreme situation or a situation where you really have to go somewhere, I would suggest not doing that. But also to highlight that, you know, the threat obviously is fire, right?
Yeah.
And we have a fire extinguisher True. In there. And it wouldn't be for this gasoline scenario, but the fire extinguisher is just something very few people have in their car. Mm-hmm. They have some really tiny ones out that you can use to for these scenarios. There was a car, I was on my way home one day and I was just driving down the main road and saw a car, and that car was on fire. Mm. And it was like, you know, you could see the guy standing out there not knowing what to do. And I've heard and I've known people who've had situations like that where maybe some wires got crossed, they didn't realize it, or something happened because the car got old and then it just catches fire. Mm-hmm. So you being able to help put that out is going to be important. Or maybe, you know, you got into an accident and something gets on fire, or you see an accident mm-hmm. and something catches on fire. You might be able to save someone or save your own life by having a small fire extinguisher in your vehicle.
And I know there was a time, and I'm not sure if this is still the case, because I like working on cars, mm-hmm. and you know, the customization scene and vintage cars. That's one of the things I'm fond of. But there was a fad for a while where people were putting fire extinguishers in their vehicles and attaching them to the A-pillar as a certain kind of visual effect. Yeah. You know, it was like, it was super cool. And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know if most of them even work, but at the same time, it's a good practice if you have one, mm-hmm. to have one in the vehicle. And some of them are small enough where they look not, you know, probably about the same size as like two, maybe a can of soda, or even a little bit bigger than a can of soda, where you can have something like that in your vehicle. To that point, if you're like a lot of people I know, you treat, like you were talking about before, having that bag in your vehicle as it's another person.
Mm-hmm.
Some people treat their vehicles as it is another person, as yeah. it's someone that they truly care about and love. Yeah. So one of the worst things I can think of is to have your car catch on fire and it be a small fire. Mm-hmm. And knowing that if you had a fire extinguisher, you could probably put out the fire that would eventually devastate and total your vehicle if you just had a small fire extinguisher. So that's something to think about. If you don't want to go up in flames, definitely have something there on hand that you can get to at an easy opportunity to put out a small fire that may start in your vehicle.
Hey guys, there is a lot of information in this podcast episode, as well as all of our other episodes. We distilled down some of the greatest lessons from all of our episodes that we share with you. You'll find that information on our Patreon account, where we would like to invite you to come over for $4 a month. You can join our Patreon account. You can help support us, keep us doing this good work, and then also learn some valuable skills. If you're looking to get more education, get into some courses, join us at our SurviveUniversity.com website. Again, that's SurviveUniversity.com, where you can gain the knowledge that you need to really grow your survival expertise.
Something, just backtracking just a little bit. You talked about the siphon.
Yeah.
So the siphon is a tool that's used, from what I'm gathering, to get fluid from one container to another container. So getting it from one vehicle, one gas tank, into another bottle or tank or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
So when you watch pop culture, you know, and you watch some of these TV shows, you're not an advocate for sucking on a hose and until the water comes out, I mean, the gas comes out and pouring into something else. That's no. That's not the siphon you're talking about.
I don't think our bodies were made to have gasoline in our mouth.
Okay.
All right. Right? So,
all right.
And probably not in our body.
Disclaimer. We're not an advocate for drinking gasoline. All right. So I wanted to make sure, I wanted to define what that tool was, because I've seen them before for like kerosene heaters and things of that sort.
Yeah.
And never knew what the official name was, but it's a siphon.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's a self-priming siphon.
Self-priming siphon. So make sure you guys, if you have it in your car, and if you do not have it in your car, at least have it in your house, because that thing has multiple purposes.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about spilling anything, which is another hazard that we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. It has multiple uses, and that's really the great aspect of it. And it allows you to do a lot. Another thing that I really like to talk about that is something that I use, because I only buy used cars. You know, I'm a no debt Dave Ramsey advocate, and so
Hoorah.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get that guy to like give us a sponsorship or something. Anyway. You know, so I buy used cars, used vehicles. I pay for them in cash. Sometimes they're really old. And my last vehicle was pretty old. It was like 99 or mm-hmm. something like that. And I just got rid of that and sold it maybe a year and a half ago. You know, so from 99 to 2020, you know. So
not bad.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, sometimes it had a short in it and it would be pulling energy.
Yeah.
And so every so often I'd go out and a battery would be dead and I didn't know what was up. So one of the things that really worked for me was a car battery booster pack. And this thing is like, it immediately charges your battery. And allows you to start up your vehicle so that you can move out. I used that multiple times. I even used it for several friends mm-hmm. where, you know, they had newer rides and they came out, maybe the, you know, they were hanging out and they left something on or their battery just died and I was able to boost them right up, whether it was a truck or a car. These things are cool because they also have other inputs for like phones so that you can charge your phone or any other thing that you might have. And you just keep it plugged into the car. Mm-hmm. It just plugs right in. It plugs into your lighter, your cigarette lighter spot. And then you just keep it in there until maybe one day you need it or one day you don't need it.
Okay. So specifically, what is that item called? Because mm-hmm. I think there can be some confusion. Those who know. So this me asking this question is not for those who know. It's for those who are uncertain. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about a battery cell that you can buy that you can plug your cell phone. And you're talking about another piece of equipment mm-hmm. that you can utilize to jumpstart your vehicle, but it also has the application where you can charge up your phone. So it's yes. okay.
Yep. It's powerful enough to jumpstart your vehicle, but then it also has all of these different plugs in it. So you can plug in your phone and any other item that you may need to charge. It also has a light on it. Okay. So if you need it to go outside of your vehicle and look at something or stay inside your vehicle and you needed some light, you would be able to provide that as well. So it does a multitude of things. It's really a great item to have. And it's a little bit different from a just regular battery charger. Like okay. I have one of those too. And that was a problem for me because then I would have to hook it up to my battery and wait for it to try to charge my battery. But mm-hmm. these kind of boosters have a special function to them where they give an immediate charge. You know, they don't last long, but mm-hmm. they give, as soon as you hook them up and you try to turn over, it gives you an immediate boost, a charge to your battery, and that gets it started.
So I would add to that, if you have one of those, mm-hmm. And you keep it in your vehicle, do not use it for charging up your cell phone and have the same expectation that it's going to, you've been using it for the past year to charge up your cell phone. Don't think you're going to just plug it up to your battery one day and it's going to jump everything. It has a shelf life and it needs to be recharged also. So
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I said keep it plugged in uh-huh. and that way it'll just always be ready for you.
Cool.
So one of the things, other things is a foldable shovel. Right.
Okay.
Like an e-tool or something of that nature, you know, this little tiny foldable shovel that's going to help you on multiple levels. People get stuck in mud all the time.
Yeah.
People get stuck in snow all the time. I mean, it's just so many multitudes that you can dig out sand if you're on the beach. Right. You can dig out around your tire. And then using those tire tracks that we talked about, the foldable mm-hmm. tire tracks, you can put those where you need to put them and then be able to get yourself out of there. And so that would be another aspect of, you know, moving yourself or getting yourself to a, you know, to a safe spot. So a foldable shovel is a big one. I really like, and then also if that works out for you as a human being too, mm-hmm. you know, if you're like in the woods somewhere, you can dig a hole and use the restroom if you need to.
Right? Okay.
So It's a multi-tool.
And cover up your tracks after yeah. you've used the bathroom.
Yeah, cover up them
Get
tracks.
Get back to Mother Earth. So, okay, you have, like I said, we have a long list here. We're going to make it available to everybody. There's a lot of items on here, but if you say you could only choose 5 items on
wouldn't
this
do
list,
it.
You wouldn't do it?
That's something, that's for you.
Oh, that's for me. Okay, because I'm the ordinary. I'd yeah. be the one that say, I don't have this.
Because then when we get stranded somewhere, I'm going to be looking at you like, bro, why you only got 5 items, yo? Like,
and I'm going to say, why did we drive your car?
I told you what we needed to have, and you don't have the one thing that we need to have.
Yeah, so, you're right.
Just get them slowly.
Okay.
You know, put it on your Christmas list or whatever. Buy one thing here, one thing there. You know, you can't. You know, unless you have a bazillion dollars, and even if you did, it wouldn't matter. You know, you can't prepare for any of every eventuality, mm-hmm. but you can prepare for what you can prepare for with your budget, with your time, you know, your efforts. So get what you can, you know, get things that you think are going to be important, and that's the best that you can do. You know, we could always say like flares are good, you know, lights are good. Having a way to another thing that I would say, run flat. We have that on the list, right? Uh-huh. People get flat tires all the time. They'll go inside the store, come out, didn't realize they ran over a nail and now their tire's flat. Now you could change your tire or you could use Run Flat.
Mm-hmm.
Run Flat is a very quick way, especially if it's freezing outside or it's super hot outside and you're like, and you don't even know how to change the tire because you've never done that before. So Run Flat will save your life. It's only a few dollars at Lowe's or whatever. You just pump it into your tire. You move your tire around, it's going to seal that hole, right? And then you have your air pump for your car, which is another thing on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take that, pump up your tire, and then drive to the nearest, you know, place. You could also, of course, call AAA if you have AAA, you know. But if you don't have AAA or insurance company to come and tow you away, I mean, this is a very easy fix. Mm-hmm. That'll only take you a few minutes, and then you're back on the road, and you can get to safety, right? Versus waiting for AAA to come. And if you're on stranded in the boondock somewhere with no signal, you can't do that. So that's not even an option. So having run flat in your car. So those are some things that I would say, you know, if I had to name five, always want to have a toolkit.
If I twisted your arm,
if you twisted my arm,
held a gun to your head and said, name five items on the list.
Yep, name five items on the
or
list.
Or you die.
And I'll say, I know how to get out of this and I can kill you with your own gun, but
I'm going to prove a point to you.
I think if I just name five, it'll be easier on everybody.
I don't have to clean up your blood.
a toolkit.
Okay.
You know, those emergency lights and a seatbelt cutter and like we said, Run Flat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. And I said the emergency lights. And so I think that's about the gist of it.
Okay, you know? give them to me again.
So a toolkit.
Toolkit.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The Run Flat.
Run Flat, okay.
The seatbelt cutter and the glass break.
Okay, that's right? Four.
That's just one item. It does both. Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
And then, oh my gosh, what do I do now? Let's say the foldable tire grips, because, you know, I think a lot of people get stuck places quite often. Right?
Okay.
So, you know, having the tire grips, having the emergency lights,
mm-hmm.
having a way to cut your seatbelt off if you get into an accident. And then, you know, like I said, having some tools that you can use to take tires off or, you know, work on your engine if you need it to would be important as well.
Oh, man. See, all of that. And you didn't name my favorite.
What is it?
Number 17.
17. Duct tape. Duct tape fixes all things.
You could have done all of that with a roll of duct tape.
You could have taped your tire back on. You could make clothes out of it if you needed to. Better yet, if your car won't drive, you can actually make a new tire.
Exactly.
You can make a hang glider. I think I saw that on MacGyver somewhere. You know, it's all types of cool stuff you can do with duct tape. So another thing that a lot of people don't think about because of modern technology would be a roadmap, right? Mm-hmm. Having a roadmap is important. I personally have been in several situations where I had to pull out a roadmap, and it was because I do a lot of backwoods stuff and mm-hmm. I travel a lot and I travel by car. And so I've gone to places where my GPS has just stopped working, but I wasn't really sure where I was going. So being able to pull out that roadmap and look at where I am on the map and then be able to find myself and find my way is important. You know, that was an important thing for me to have so that I can continue on.
And usually GPS is not always dependable. Sometimes even if mm-hmm. you have a signal, if there's new construction or, mm-hmm. you know, something gets squirrely, because I know sometimes when I utilize it on my phone, it'll just start spinning around. And especially in those situations, like you mentioned before, if you're somewhere that's not on a main road,
mm-hmm.
and I think, because of Murphy's Law, sometimes just because if I'm somewhere new, it just has a good time with just sending me in the wrong directions or sending me in circles.
Yeah.
So having that hard copy map, not only having it, but knowing how to read it is pivotal.
I think having also a good foldable saw.
Yeah.
Right. Now, some people say an axe, but an axe can be bulky. It's a lot of work if you get something. But if you get a tree, if you go off the road and you hit like a tree and that branches or something mm-hmm. come through your vehicle, It's a lot easier to just saw those things off than to be trying to swing that axe every which way, especially if it's in tight spaces. Or for that matter, a log or something goes down across the road. You can try to hack that thing to bits, but a saw that's long enough is going to be good for getting you out of that scenario as well.
So I've seen, just in looking at different pieces of equipment, you have foldable hard saws, but you also have like string saws too, right?
Yeah.
Would that be something that you could utilize, or would that be something that'd be more trouble?
I like foldable hard saws because the rope saws and the string saws, you have to be able to get them around the log. And if it's multiple, like let's say limbs or something, you have to try to weave that thing through and, you know, get that proper angles so that you can pull back and forth on each end. It's hard for the audience, I'm sure, listening to be able to to see what I'm talking about. You know, a foldable saw, you just fold it out and you can hit it right from the top or whatever angle you can get, go back and forth. And normally you can get into really tight spaces with that.
Okay.
So that would be one of those. And really the last things that I would like to talk about is, you know, ratchet straps and tow straps, mm-hmm. right? If you need to tow somebody or pull somebody out of the way, or somebody needs to pull you out of the way, you know, with a combination of a ratchet strap and a tow strap, you could kind of manipulate your way into doing that.
Okay.
A ratchet strap as well. Maybe you got a door that's hanging off and, you know, you're not going to just knock your door off. Maybe you got into an accident. You're trying to get out of there. You banged up against a tree. Maybe that ratchet strap can help you keep that door closed. There's a multitude of things that you can be inventive with that as well to do that. So that would be some other things that I would say that should be in your vehicle. And other than that, I think we hit literally everything on the list.
Now, I wanted to ask you about the ratchet strap and the difference between that and a chain.
Mm.
Obviously, the chain, well, for most applications, a chain is a stronger tool, but the ratchet strap is something that's compact.
Yeah, the ratchet strap is the chain. You cannot ratchet it, right?
Okay, yes.
So you can't tighten it, you know, unless you have a special tool. It's heavier, it's bulkier. You know, a ratchet strap, you can. You can put it around something and tighten it down. You can actually, if you manipulate it right, you know, you can put it around itself, tie that one end down, and then maybe kind of use it to kind of pull as you ratchet. You get what I'm saying?
I got you.
Like a almost like you're leveraging or pulling, and so, or a pulley. So that would be another way. Another, like I say, you could be very inventive and creative with it so that you can do a multitude of things.
Now, I've seen some in different stores, be it your discount store or your auto parts store, and most of them have a weight value to them as far as what they can pull.
Yeah.
Is there a minimum that you would recommend?
It'd just be for whatever you think that maybe for this particular case, a vehicle, it would be like, well, how much around do you think your vehicle weighs or something of that nature. Now, those might be too bulky or too big so that you can go down a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're just talking about, can you, let's say, for instance, if you're stuck backwards in a ditch, and you just need a little bit of effort, something pulling on you forward, you know, you tighten up the ratchet so that it's as tight as possible around this tree anchored to your toe, you know, line or something of that nature. And then, you know, it gives you just that little bit of pull forward so that when you put your little tire tracks underneath it and you hit the gas, it'll give you the extra boost to get up the hill. You know, I mean, there's things like that. Again, we're trying to explain something that's visual over audio. But that the hope is that you can come up with different ways to kind of put these things together to help you get there. And that would be a lot more affordable than, let's say, like a full-on pulley, you
Got
know,
you. Got you.
That you have to anchor to your vehicle and you have to go through all this stuff. So that might be another possibility.
Okay. And to your point, we are doing an audio broadcast, but we're hoping that we're sparking some interest so that you will get some of these items and put them in your hand and play around with them and become more familiar with them. Because in doing so, I'm pretty sure that several of you will find inventive ways to use these things that we haven't even mentioned on the broadcast. So, you know, we'll make sure that you have access to the list, and we would love to get your feedback on some of the things that you think should be on the list and some of the applications for some of the items that are already on there.
Well, all right, my preps, that is it for today. I hope you got a lot of great information on this episode of the Survive You podcast. I'm Hakeem, your dean, here doing our thing. And then I am also with Maine, the OG.
Here I am.
All right. The original guy, right? Or the ordinary guy. We're coming up with all types of
original gangster
flows,
man,
for you, right? All right. And so remember, we want you to leave a comment on our podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast. That's how we get noticed and we're able to get more of our messaging out there. Also, if you would share it with your friends, that would be great, right? We're in this together as a community, so sharing this information with our friends are great. Be aware of our Patreon account and going to that and then supporting us over there, as well as going to surviveuniversity.com, where we have a list of different classes that you can take with us online and learn this as well. Until next time, my friends, see ya. We're out.